You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Man, like troops, back again. About my blood clot, yang, all of that. Man came on the Cooligans and shut the thing down. Make sure you watch. If you don't, you're a ham roll blood.
Yeah, baby! Yeah, okay. Maybe
that
I should...
wasn't as long as usual, dude.
No, you know what? I should, you know, for the Prem show, maybe I should do the Yeah Babies. You know,
do
mix
you
it
want
up.
To?
Yeah, why not?
We should. Do you want to do it next or you want to just do
it right now? We'll do it next one. It's already spoiled.
The anticipation. Wild.
People are going to be like, oh my God, I can't. I got to tune in next week.
oh my God. Can it be next week already, Mom? Like, no, that's not how time works at all.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Prem Show, taped live on Twitch.
in front of a live studio audience. And by live, we mean at home, more than 6 feet away from us, as we have preferred it.
A live studio chat. That's really what it is. Okay.
That's right. This is the only podcast I know where if you're funny enough in the chat or if you make a wild enough statement, you're going to be on the show. We're going to bring it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's us and people who call into Fox News, you know,
or C-SPAN. They're like Bob in Cincinnati. And you're like, I just don't understand why we got to wear masks. And you're like, where'd you get that accent?
And then they're like, Baba boy.
Fucking right in the pussy. And then they hang out.
Like, okay. No, well, who let him through? Who let him through?
There was one. My favorite was, it was a black dude who was the host. And this woman called and she was super old. And she kept saying, like, I don't understand why black people are protesting. They should just go home, blah, blah, blah. But she didn't use black people. And C-SPAN, you're supposed to, it's an unbiased show, right? So you have to be down the middle. You can't even react.
Yeah.
It's like playing poker. So the host is like, mm-hmm. Okay, well. Thank you for that note, you know, Gertrude in the Villages, Florida. You know, it was horrific to see.
Yeah, they go a little too far. So, so again, everybody, welcome to the Prem Show. This is the Cooligans that you know and love, talking about that league that nobody watches. And we're trying to just build it up, get it some a little bit of notoriety because people...
You know, once it gets respect, I feel like then people will start talking about it a little more because, you know, the Premier League, all the way on that tiny island, right? Yep. Right? The weather's horrific. Right. Nobody wants to go there. Right. So we're going to do our best to try to build it up because if they can learn how to develop players in a rain soaked island,
you know, how I talk,
who knows, there might be a superpower.
You know, how I talk to the Premier League. I tell the Premier League, you know what? You need to smile more. That's what I tell the Premier League. Okay.
Hey, toots.
Okay.
Come on. Huh? You're going to be that mean. No one else is talking to you. Who else calls the Premier League toots? Also, in the chat, try to spell toots. It's impossible.
Okay, yeah, that's what we do here. We harass the Premier League.
Hey, ma. With all that liver and pool.
Anyway.
Look at that arsenal.
a lot to discuss. Yes, we are taping this on Twitch. So if you're listening to this podcast, follow us at twitch.tv/soccercooligans. Join us. We have a bunch of people here in the chat that are going to hang out with us and talk to us about everything that we've seen. Right? Arsenal 1, right? Arsenal 1, 2-1.
Yes. Okay.
And wild.
I honestly, there's a lot of things, right? Mistakes by Virgil van Dijk, which no one is expecting.
Nobody's ever said that sentence. What are you talking about?
There's a lot of things that have caused this match to be in the victory of Arsenal. But here's what I think. I think it was me not wearing any Arsenal gear. Okay.
Oh, so it was
because
you.
Because I'll always put on one of my like 38 Arsenal jerseys, right? When Arsenal's playing and get all cuddly. Sometimes they win this towards the end of the last 2 weeks. No, they haven't, right? Or the last two matches. So I decided I'm not going to wear it. I think I broke the curse, baby. So Arsenal, you're welcome. It was all me.
Impressive stuff. Yeah,
I tried to help.
It was. I saw the first goal from Lacazette after the mistake from Virgil van Dijk, and it was one of those, like, is this really happening? I mean, he just, he does not make mistakes. And then I was curious how he was going to react after making the mistake. And he didn't, like, not the traditional, it's just weird to, it's weird to see Virgil van Dijk complain about a mistake being made to anyone. Like, he was pointing at, I don't know who he was pointing at, the ref, or it wasn't a foul.
Oh, my shirt. Shirt wasn't even pulled. It's just odd to see him make Arsenal, you know, like, try to shame someone else like David Luiz does. Sometimes.
Well, it was the equivalent of, like, somebody, you know, like a player who dives, like an Argentinian player who dives all the time. Yeah. You know, that was as much as, you know, the Dutchman Virgil van Dijk could express of, like,
right,
you know, yo,
he got CONCACAF-y.
He got CONCACAF-y. But like, you know, he wasn't at like a 10 CONCACAF. He was just like a 2 CONCACAF.
But that's still way more CONCACAF. That's almost as much stevia as you would put in a treat to ruin it, which is a throwback to something you would only know if you watched the Twitch.
The Twitch. Anyway.
There he is. Look at him enjoying that particle board or whatever you call it.
So where are we on the standings? It is obviously Liverpool.
Arsenal's in fourth. We're going to Champions League. What? I'm looking at an old one? Okay.
Liverpool, obviously, I was surprised Arsenal won the game. I think a lot of people were, but...
Including Arsenal fans, including Arsenal players.
Liverpool had nothing to really, obviously, play for.
Actually, that's not true. They were trying to hit 100 points. Now they're not going to be able to hit 100 points on the season.
Boo-hoo. I mean, look, I think the real issue is they're clearly still partying. They're still drunk from it's all lit. The celebrating. But did you see the...
it's fair to take a couple matches off. You're goody. You won.
Who is the? Why am I forgetting his name? The player for Arsenal that went to Liverpool.
Oxley Chamberlain.
He got to walk out of the
guard of honor. The honor guard.
Yeah. Is it guard of honor?
It's one of the two. It's honor guard of honor. I don't know. They both sound like a pin you win at Boy Scouts. It's stupid.
Let us know in the chat what it's called. I forgot what it's called. But, you know,
yeah, you do the research.
The humiliating thing that the team has to clap for for the winning team. But Ox got to do that in front of his former team. Must have felt good. Cola Blanca,
you
says,
know what?
Guard of honor. Guard of honor.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I will tell you this much. There's no more embarrassing Arsenal guard of honor that I've ever been a part of than doing it for Robin Van Persie when he said the little boy inside him wanted him to go to Manchester United. That's a true statement.
Not a great sentence.
No, you might want to Google Translate. Isn't just always an automatic. You know what I mean? You might want to just get local vernacular. You know what I mean? To see if that's really what you said.
Goldbanco also added the corridor of applause, which I think is a better name. Yeah.
Way better. Yeah.
So, So at least,
the hand slaps tunnel, you know what I mean?
So, yeah, look, I mean, realistically, we have to find those other, like, since Liverpool already won, we have to find those other moments that provide some sort of delight, because there isn't that question of who is going to win the league. So that was at least pretty entertaining.
But you know what? I mean, look, it's fodder for us to talk about, and the three or four other very small platforms that are sometimes talking about this secondary league, known as the Premier League. But really, at the end of the year, you can't be mad at Klopp for not being able to get his players up for an end of the season match. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like we're goody. Like we get it. You know what I mean? Like you won already. You're fine. You know, too bad you can't have a parade.
There were a couple other matches, obviously Arsenal, Liverpool today,
Tottenham won against Newcastle.
DeAndre Yedlin started this game, but, you know, essentially gave up the first goal. He got nutmegged by Youngman's son.
Yeah.
So you hate to see it when it's you know, an American player.
It's one of your own, you know.
You know, it hurts more, to be honest.
100%. You do that to John Joe Shelby, we're laughing and high-fiving. We don't care.
I'm slapping my thigh at how great that was.
I'll do a guard of honor for him. You know what I mean? No one cares. But I mean, you do that to Yedlin. Come on, man. We're trying to make it to a World Cup, my G.
Mateo says, I think Arsenal won because Jordan Henderson was out. Oh, the man you've disrespected so much that you have zero.
Oh, my God. I didn't even notice they were missing the player of the year. Ballon d'Or candidate, Jordan Henderson.
How many people? We got a lot of comments from people that were like, yo, Alexis, do you have a personal vendetta with Jordan Henderson? What did he do to you? What is the issue?
You know what it is? First of all, I'll never say what he did. He knows it. And second of all,
I'm just waiting for that apology.
He knows what to do. You and your family, guard of honor. You make the corridor of applause, and I will walk through it, and then maybe I'll reconsider.
That would be a great way for families to settle a dispute. Once they have agreed that they were in the wrong, they were like, okay, well, now what you have to do, get the nieces, get the nephews. I want a guard of honor.
Put on masks. We're doing this. Everybody, we need to be 12 feet apart so they can walk directly in the middle. Okay. I'd be 6 feet away from each side.
Yeah, three meters or whatever, you know?
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing out there. Yeah, 17 pounds, whatever you guys, whatever the math is. I just, the fact that he's even in the talks for player of the year is still a joke to me. So I don't care if people are upset, whatever.
Okay. So, Newcastle lost to Tottenham. I mean, Tottenham is Tottenham. They played well. You didn't expect too much. I thought Newcastle at least had a chance. I saw the second half of this game, and I thought they made it a little bit difficult. I thought they were going to get destroyed by Tottenham, but they had a couple.
I also thought like, if you're a Newcastle player, now's your time to like get out there and shine. You know what I mean?
The goal. The goal from Matt Ritchie, did you see it?
He cracked it.
Oh, my God, that was incredible.
But here's the thing. They're about to get taken over, right? There's a new takeover happening.
Has that been confirmed?
I don't know, but it might happen. If it might happen, right now you're playing on whether to stay on the new Galacticos. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like if MBS comes in and buys the joint, right? They're going to be spending tons of money on new players. Maybe what, Max? Two players you want to keep, right? Maxime, who cares? Saint Maximum, and maybe I would say Miguel Almirón, right? Because he's fast enough and he's really good in the midfield, and also because of the connection to MLS. That's it. I can't really think of any other player on this squad that you would, you know, leaps and bounds, jump through hoops to sort of save. You could, I mean, they can't replace everybody because of financial fair play. Not that it really exists.
Yeah. We should talk. We got to talk about that actually.
Yeah, no, it's in there. It's in there. I just, as far as I'm concerned, like I would have assumed I would have put my money on every Newcastle player just trying to do something wild. You know what I mean? Just trying to show off a little bit, you know?
Oh, Latin Heat following. Thank you so much for the follow. Oh, everybody, follow Aniba on Twitter because he's been doing
and on TikTok because he's been doing
awesome videos. So shouts to him.
Can I say this? He's the Bad Bunny of American soccer.
He is the Bad Bunny of American soccer. What is that? Please explain the compliment.
Because on TikTok he's doing like a lot of wild sketches and a lot of lights and dancing. It's just it's to me, it reminds me of Bad Bunny, of like, I don't care what anybody thinks, this is dope, I'ma do it.
Okay.
And it's fire.
I respect it. So yeah, actually, you know what? Let's go into,
and ain't he Puerto Rican?
No, he's Colombian. All
nah,
right.
He Puerto Rican now, though. Boricua, animal.
Let's talk about that financial fair play issue I don't think we can necessarily show it, but I wish I had the audio or something. Jamie Carragher was interviewed by Sky Sports about the financial fair play issue, right? He was asking, like, what do you think about financial fair play? And he kind of responded.
Never heard of him.
Who that? They got my number?
Yeah. No. Was he playing for Ligon? I don't pay attention to that.
And I was a bit surprised. I don't know if it's a towing the company line type of thing, or, you know, he works for... Who does he work? He works for Sky Sports, I believe, right?
Yeah, ain't nobody trying to fuck up the bag, dude.
I think so, because he was
That's why we're not going too hard.
No, but he said that he dismissed the question. He was like, no, I'm fine with finance. He was like, I don't even like financial fair play, because he feels that financial fair play is good for the competitiveness of the league, because we were used to seeing the Manchester United and Arsenals just, you know, 1 and 2 pretty much, the 90s and the 2000s and stuff like that. And financial fair play allowed non-financial fair play.
It leveled the playing field.
It allowed more clubs to be able to be competitive at the top of the Premier League table.
Right, but the danger there is that they were spending more than they could, which is Leeds.
Yeah.
Leeds way overblew their budget, nearly collapsed as a club, and you're seeing it just from the documentary, and if you've been following their story over the last two seasons of trying to get into Premier League, shouts to them, they're going to be here next season. But they're a huge club, and they're stuck in the Championship. You know what I mean? Like, they're a massive club. Like, no disrespect. They're, to me, like, from just the way, like, the infrastructure of it, they're bigger than an Everton, they're bigger than a Southampton, and they're stuck in the Championship. So, yeah. Like, and before that, even worse, back when Mike Grello was playing for them, they were, like, I believe in League One. They went as far down as League One. Like, there's some real issues with overspending. So that's, a lot of people say that that's why it was put. I personally think it's a way for the larger clubs to be able to sort of continuously spend more money as long as they find a creative way, because they're always going to pull in more revenue than your smaller clubs, right? Your Manchester United will have more revenue than an Everton. So Everton doesn't really have as many ways of sort of being able to cook the books, you know what I mean, as maybe a Manchester United can, of sort of structuring it where they get to spend more money. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure. I don't know where you have this evidence that they can or can't. What do you know about the financial records of these teams?
This happens at least once every four streams. I start talking about how to do something illegal, and it's just going to get me in trouble, okay? But if you want to launder money, you need to have a way of creating revenue that you can then clean dirty money with, right?
Sure.
Now I'm not saying that's what's happening at these major clubs. Maybe it is. I'm not saying it is. What I'm saying is, in order to create more expenditures, you have to show more revenues. Everton is capped at the level amount of revenue that they can bring in, right? You can't, like, someone who's owned by a company or a country that also happens to own an oil field like Gazprom, right? If you're Zenit St. Petersburg, you could just say, oh, Gazprom paid us $300 billion for the shirt deal, right? Everton can't say that. Peso would be like, you need to slow down, my chief. Like, we got to pay taxes too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to say is, like, there are ways. The bigger clubs will always have a way. Like, the financial fair play, a lot of people believe that it was put in place in a way so that the larger clubs can continue to prosper. And it would hold the smaller clubs down because they couldn't overspend. To what was that, Milner or who said that? Not Milner, Carragher. Jamie Carragher's point. Sorry, they look exactly alike in my head.
No, I mean they're both on Liverpool, right, for a long time. Milner and Carragher did not, but Liverpool.
No.
Milner plays there now, but Carragher played there in the past. It is a I think that's kind of the point that maybe some people don't realize, because they hear the big clubs and when in regards to financial fair play, but in reality it is kind of there to protect the smaller clubs from failing.
Yeah.
And if anyone is not aware, who is listening to this or watching this, of what is going on, obviously Manchester City did get a 2-year ban from the Champions League for breaking financial fair play rules.
Actually, no, it was because of them obstructing the investigation.
Yes, correct. And Now
they're like, you know what?
No.
That's cool.
The UEFA has and FIFA are like, all right, all good. It's all sorted out. I don't know exactly why they kind of went back on that. You know, they appealed and whatever, and they won. But they do still have to pay a fine. I believe it's like $10.7 million for obstructing the investigation. So it's still an expensive you know, mistake or error or judgment, whatever it is that they did or did not do, they have to
chill with all that expensive talk, B. come on now, $8 million, that's an academy kid, you know what I mean?
It's still $10 million, bro.
Come on, they say that they don't have to pay that to you know, Leroy Sané. You know what I mean?
Okay. I mean, look,
it's £8 million, if I'm not mistaken. So whatever. I mean, it's nothing to them. It's couch cushion money to City Football Group, but good for them. You know, look, at the end of the day, this is where UEFA is hamstrung, right? Manchester City is a club people pay to come watch. You can't, it's like banning Mayweather. You know what I mean? Well, then just don't do pay-per-views for boxing right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's a big ticket item. Man City is a big ticket item. That's who the people want to come watch. So if you could say, look, we're going to ban you from this competition for 2 years, which has a negative net effect on all of us, right? Because that's less sponsorship money, less everything. Or we're going to dock you pay, dock them pay. And you know what I would love? If everyone just followed the German model. It's like, yo, go spend whatever you want. It's kind of like baseball, luxury tax. But whatever you spend, some of that money goes to the smaller clubs for them to develop players. It's only going to help the national team anyway. And if you're England, you need that as badly as anything else.
Yeah,
you need help with your national team.
Well, so. I think we're seeing how different countries they want to operate their leagues differently, right? Like England wants to be able to be the most watched league in the world and have the best, the absolutely best players. Germany wants to, you know, focuses on having the strongest kind of like fan support and fan ownership, right. and
France
having
wants PSG to succeed.
Correct.
MLS wants to confuse you with rules.
But everybody, yeah, FIFA's like, yo, y'all figure it out. And there's not going to be one way to kind of do it. But these are the kind of consequences or results of having these absolutely huge power clubs, and then we're gonna get into these things. And FIFA degenerate says all this talk of dirty money reminds me of the Atletico Nacional team from Colombia in the late 80s. All right, and this is the Escobar team. This is very, you know, well reported. Yeah. So yeah,
Pablo Blanco did say "An America de Cali" too. So
yeah.
All right. Look, at one point, we've all watched the two Escobars. You know, at one point, all the clubs were essentially live fantasy soccer teams for drug cartels, which was, I gotta admit, it's kind of lit. You know what I mean? Like, horrific for society, but
of course, yeah. I don't know if you know, the people in Cali and Medellin would say the same thing. Yeah,
no, they wouldn't. But looking at it now, that the fear can't reach us, it's kind of lit. You know,
it's wild, man. I mean, I it's funny because even hearing like the stories from my Colombian friends about, like, you know, they're like, a lot of Colombians moved here. Like, a lot of my friends are from Bogota, and it's
during,
like,
that time.
Yeah, yeah, and it's around that time when everybody, like, in the 80s and stuff, and early 90s, they moved here.
They left because they said the soccer was too lit.
Yeah, it was just too much. They were trying to export the soccer to this country. That's all they were trying to do.
That's why they left. You know, so they're not political asylum so much as a soccer asylum.
No, man.
A balompié asylum.
Yeah, there's a lot of stories. Yeah, it's weird hearing, like, from people that are, like, you know, 45 years old or 50 years old, and like it sounds like they came from, like, they were in Nam. You know what I mean? Like, it's pretty scary.
But and then there's like some kid watching Narcos on Netflix going like, I wonder if Escobar's gonna survive. Google it, you idiot.
Yeah, dude. Okay, so a couple of things. What do you want to get to next? Actually, you know what? Let's mention this, because this was pretty wild about Serge Aurier. Serge Aurier, obviously, for Tottenham. What position does he play? I think he's a left back or right back.
Yeah, he's a defender, but they found his brother dead.
His brother was shot in France. I think after like being at a nightclub or something like that. I don't know exactly what happened, but
I don't know. But apparently, they didn't tell him during the match, or he found out right after the match, if I'm not mistaken.
No. That's not what he played. He played in the game,
and then later on, it happened.
No. It already happened a couple days ago, but he still played in the game, meaning he didn't take.
That's what it was. He played despite heard and the news, and. You know, these are the moments, and like we do interviews on our show of soccer players, and it in those moments, like sometimes we're interviewing someone who's made like a pretty big mistake in a big game or has something where there's like a joke about them. You know what I mean? Like there's like a joke that you know to make about this player because of something that happened on the field. But you get this weird moment where like it humanizes them, you know, when you talk to them. So just the idea of being able to go to work.
Yeah.
After you find out your brother's been shot, you know what I mean? That's insane. Never mind play a professional sport where you need to be 100% focused. The only thing I can think is that maybe it was like a reprieve. Maybe when they get on the field, it's what they know and it gives them a chance. It's like sometimes when I play FIFA, my brain just goes completely empty and I'm not thinking about jokes. I'm not thinking about why I suck at FIFA. I'm not thinking about Doritos. I'm not thinking about any of those things. You know what I mean? It's just emptiness and it's my moment to just clear my brain. Maybe that's what soccer is for Serge Aurier because, wow, that's insane. Play a game right after your brother's
honestly,
been
killed. I'm impressed you're able to not think about Doritos for at least some moment of time in your life. That's quite the discipline.
Dude, it kind of sucks. Okay. I'm not going to lie to you. and also I'm completely out and I just reordered on Amazon. They'll be here tomorrow.
Yeah. Nero Nation says that gun violence in Europe is so shocking to them. Sort of a normal thing for us Americans. Yeah. I mean, you know what? It's a shame that we tolerate it and it isn't as shocking.
In some cities in this country, someone's like, yo, you heard this person got shot at the club. They'd be like,
They went to
OPC.
You know? They know to not go there on a Thursday night.
Remember when Clay Anthony Early, who used to play for the Knicks, he was a draft pick for the Knicks, he got shot in the knee at a outside of a strip club about to get, he was going to get robbed, and he tried to fight the dude, and the dude just shot him in the knee. That's the story we were all told. But as soon as I said that, someone's like, he went to Sin City, didn't he? He's like, yo, you know you can't go to Sin City and flex. Them dudes is waiting for you outside. Like, it's a rule.
Yeah.
Like, it's all known. It's ridiculous.
It's just, yeah, that is the, like, the standard. And we know how to, like, operate and stuff like that. But it's
how to make maneuvers.
But that's how people survive, right? Because, you know, like, the laws aren't going to be changing tomorrow. You know, people love their guns for whatever reason.
But also, the laws are, you cannot have a gun outside of Sin City. But somehow we just know that the dudes waiting outside of Sin City are legitimately there to rob you.
Yeah, man.
Like, so the girls inside are texting him like, this dude got a lot of money, yada, yada, yada. It's like a whole thing. Sin City is like its own little, you know, orbit. And
yeah.
Anthony Early's like, yeah, I think I want to ruin the rest of my NBA career.
I mean, what? Remember the Plaxico Burress shooting himself at LQ's?
And Latin quarters.
I used to go. I mean, LQ closed, but I used to go there.
LQ closed what, like 8 years ago?
No. So like 2-3 years ago. Pretty recent.
No.
I was there. But Helene and I would go all the time to dance salsa.
Oh, dude, I haven't been there in a long ass time. I assumed that it was closed. But yeah, it was a great club. Plaxico Burress was there in sweatpants with a gun tucked into his sweatpants. And when they asked him, hey, do you have a gun? He's like, yeah, my bad. He tries to pull it out, shoots himself in the thigh.
Yeah, just absolutely absurd. And I remember seeing like the camera footage of like him shooting himself essentially. And it was like near the bathrooms, like between the bar and the bathroom. And I'm like,
By the stairs.
And I'm like, yo, he shot himself where I was like trying to max some chick, 12 years ago.
Dude, I could have died. I was flirting with a girl there 2 decades ago. What?
Just insane, man. Look, all right. Yeah, guns are stupid and it went wildly dangerous. I remember the first time I saw a gun, maybe it was like 17 or 18 years old. I was like terrified. I'm like, this is, I don't want this around me. And then a couple of years ago, a buddy of mine got married and we had a bachelor party. We went to Vegas and we went to a shooting range. And then, so I was already old enough to like, at least I know I'm not going to be like addicted to this. But then as soon as I started shooting a couple pistols and stuff, and I'm like, okay, I can see why the adrenaline.
There is a feeling that comes over you when you shoot a gun in a contained environment. So let's just say this, outside of Sin City, not a contained environment.
Okay, definitely not as fun, okay? So,
and shouts to Colo Blanco, not only for putting Doritos, but he said, I know how that feels, bless him. So I don't know if he's talking about going to Sin City or if he had a family member pass away by gun violence. But yeah, I mean, it sucks. And shouts to everyone who who's had to go through that. You know, it absolutely sucks. I've lost friends from gun violence growing up to a point where, like, you almost feel dead inside from it. Like, you hear someone else.
One of my friends, high school, he didn't pass away, but he was shot, I think, 3 times in the back. And he survived. And Just unbelievable.
How about Meg Thee Stallion?
She got shot?
She got shot.
Whoa. I saw people making some like kind of jokes and I didn't know what was going on. Really?
Tory Lane got arrested for having a gun.
Uh-huh.
And then in LA, and everyone was saying that Meg Thee Stallion was in the car with him. So that was the end of the story. And then it came out that Meg Thee Stallion got arrested. And then it sort of blew up into a bigger story. And she came on and said she didn't get arrested. The police drove her to the hospital so she could have surgery to remove bullets from having been shot at. So now the story has changed, or at least what people are assuming, because no one knows exactly what happened, that supposedly people who were upset about her record deal from Houston found her in LA and decided to try to threaten her. And when she wouldn't like sort of bow to the threat, they started shooting at her. And Tory Lanez happened to be there, who's Canadian, by the way. And he had a gun, so he saw Meg Thee Stallion, or at least he was with.
Yeah.
Maybe he was with. He decided, well, I'm going to shoot back, right? So he started shooting back, and that's when the police were called. Yada, yada, yada. They get there. Meg is in a bikini, and she's on the ground, and she apparently had been shot. What the hell is going
on? This is insane. This is the first time I'm hearing this.
Yeah.
Wow.
People are saying that it was Jay Pritt. I don't even want to finish his name because the man is wildly dangerous.
Okay.
But yeah, the CEO from Rap-A-Lot Records. Yeah, dude.
Unbelievable. Colo
Blanco, but yada, yada, yada. Yeah, I mean, there's not much else to say. Bikini on the ground shot, Canadian, who's 5'3". He's 5'3", 120 pounds, as per the police report.
Yeah.
There's a picture of a guy with like a massive gun in his pocket, and they put Tory when they arrested him with the strap on him. It's like this huge gun. It's messed up.
Okay. Well, I hope she's okay. I like her music. And yeah.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, okay. She took over the music industry like in between classes in college, dog.
Dude.
Legendary.
Okay. Well, welcome to the Prem Show, everybody.
Yeah, dude. We're talking all things Premier League and European soccer.
Okay.
First thing, Meg Thee Stallion shot.
Oh my God. It's difficult sometimes just existing. Okay. You mentioned Leeds before. Let's a nice soft transition into Leeds.
Skirt, skirt.
How many games are left in the championship? Because Leeds, I believe, is in first place.
I think they've been promoted, right?
I think they are going to. Yeah, they're going to be promoted. I think with based on the standings, but they haven't guaranteed the championship just yet. The actual title for the championship.
Yeah, but they are guaranteed promotion.
Yes. Where are they? They are currently first with 84 points, and West Brom is at 82. How many matches? It feels like the championship has 90 matches. What?
It's perpetual. It just doesn't end.
Because look, if the Premier League is 38, which is quite a few matches.
Yeah, they play all through the winter break of most other leagues.
Yeah, how many matches in the championship do you need to determine who the best team is? It's 46, and there are currently there are 43. Leeds is at 43, and the rest are at 44.
Jeez. That's a lot of matches. Well, that's why they say it's one of the toughest. And West Brom, why get promoted? You know you ain't doing nothing in the Prem, dog. You light work in the prem for everyone else.
Man, I'm going to get to this. FIFA Degenerate said, what are your thoughts on Kiko Casilla possibly back in the lineup after his racial comment for Leeds? I don't know what he said.
Me neither. What did he say?
Maybe don't put it in the chat if it's too wild, okay?
Well, throw a little asterisk in there. Put it in there what he said. But, yo, like, this is, I mean, Christian and I, right? We talk about him. They're conquistadors, man. That's how they are, dog.
Okay, so I'm looking it up. Found guilty. Kiko Casilla found guilty of using N-word as FA release written reasons for ban. So Kiko Casilla is the goalkeeper. And after an FA probe, it was determined. He said the former Real Madrid keeper denied the charge, but an independent regulatory commission found a breach of rule E3 -2, whatever, proven. And the FA has delivered a full explanation as to how it reached its conclusion.
Wait, did he use the word in Spanish or English? Because FIFA Degenerate says he said maldito N-word.
Oh.
But is it the one that ends in O or is it the one that ends in E-R?
Oh, that's okay. I mean, it's a...
And here's why I think this is important. Maybe it wasn't said in a positive light, but that term is not racist in Spanish. And this is what happened to Luis Suarez.
Well, the term, the context is important, right? He shouldn't have said it, but as far
but
as...
But it's not... But it, yes, yeah. But it's not a... It's not a racist word.
It is not a racist word. Inherently, no, it's not a racist word. To say like negro, like we like
negra. My grandmother, who was very dark skinned, everyone lovingly called her negra.
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah, negra. There was no need for my grandmother to, you know, shoot the ones where everyone. She tried it anyway because she was pretty hardcore.
Okay, so
she ain't trying to fight.
But this was his response. He said, I guess they were playing against Charlton. He said, no other Charlton or Leeds player recalled hearing those words. While Casilla claimed he could not have used the term that the N word because he did not know what it meant due to his poor English. So I'm assuming he did not say the N word, but he probably said negro, but he said it in like in an angry way. And that was probably what was either whether it was misconstrued or not. He probably just didn't know. He probably didn't know that he's in an English speaking country. He didn't the context of the word, and you know how he says it, who he's saying it to,
they got a lot of energy for when a soccer player from Latin America says it, but when there's a bunch of white guys walking down the street yelling that at protesters for the Black Lives Matter movement, nobody got nothing to say. You know what I mean? And they're using the hard R, you know, they're not using the Latin term. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. A good one said, negra, flaco, gordo, and I know it's all love. Yeah. I don't know about that last one though.
That one seems a little.
That's harsh. I mean, it's not racist, but it's harsh.
At the very least, it's tough love, I guess.
Yeah. Damn. I mean, you can't change that.
this is a thing that happens when cultures clash, right? And context is sort of is different in different countries. I based on what I'm reading, I can't, I don't think he meant it in a racist way, but he said it in an angry way in a country where if you say that, even if you said like effing black person, you know what I mean? That's sort of kind of what he said.
Right. And it's not a racist.
It's not racist,
term,
but you're like, bro.
Disrespectful as a motherfucker. And it's racially insensitive.
Yes.
Which is a different category. Is saying maldito negro, right? If saying that is, I wouldn't say it's specifically racially, I don't think it's intended to be racially insensitive, but it is.
Yeah.
Racially insensitive. So that for that, especially if it's used in a racist tone. And you know, here's the other thing. The Spaniard accent saying that.
Oh boy.
Right? It's a little
much. They can say hola, and I'm like, what's right, that mean? Right. I see
why you gotta say what a hard A on the end there, huh?
Okay, I'm reading between the lines. I know what you conqueror. Uh-huh. Okay.
Well, good day to you. You know? Dono Blanco said that the computer kept asking if it was okay for those messages to be put, which is says a lot. But yeah, but that's also an American algorithm. If this was in the Caribbean, they'd be like, "What, Papa? Of course you can post that."
FIFA Degenerate said, "I read that people didn't hear him, and it was lip reading done from video replays."
Yo, VAR can't even get a damn.
You can't get VAR. Offside right, but you can get this.
My God, you letting goals go that shouldn't even be. And you, but this? You doing lip reading now? VAR?
Unbelievable.
VAR comes with a hot energy, yo.
Thank you. Thank you, FIFA Degenerates, for bringing this up. Because, look, we didn't even know and we wouldn't have even talked about this.
It's going in the show, FIFA _ Degenerate. Shouts to you. And if you're listening right now and you're like, I knew about this, I should have posted it. Get on the Twitch stream, bro.
Okay. Twitch.tv/soccercooligans. Hit the follow button. Otherwise, you won't be able to get in the chat because you a spammer.
Right? Gordo Blanco might block you. He might just take your comment and put it up himself after blocking you, because that's our mod. He can do whatever he wants. That's a little extra gully right there.
Look at this great question I alone came up with.
Yeah. So I think the last time Leeds was in the Prem was 2003-2004, when they got relegated, along with Leicester City and Wolverhampton. And wow, what a difference.
Yeah,
17 years makes. Just missing out on relegation that season was Manchester City and Everton, Blackburn Rovers and Tottenham Hotspur. Ugh. So too bad Tottenham didn't get relegated.
Perfect timing. Thank you so much for the subscription. Appreciate it very, very much. Now the perfect timing will have the badge, the Cooligans badge. Azúcar, that's it. Isn't it great? If you want to hear some salsa, you subscribe.
I was wondering why she yelled that. A good one yelled that. I'm like, yo, we got Celia Cruz in there?
We have, if you subscribe, you get to hear salsa. If you follow, you get to see Alexis dance on a toilet. So
that's right. We should switch that. If you follow, you hear salsa, but you got to subscribe to see me dance on the toilet.
Okay. The Twitch alert is Alexis's OnlyFans. Okay.
Yo, lonely man. I forgot we were talking about Leeds, but yeah, I think, look, if people, here's the thing, like, and this goes back to the Luis Suarez situation. If Patrice Evra is upset about it,
bum, then, bum, 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 bum. Thank you, Cade Lady.
You heard it again? All right, Cade Lady. If you, and people are listening to the podcast are like, I'm pretty sure they're both on drugs. but if you listen to Patrice Evra, he said he was upset about the interaction with Luis Suarez. To me, that's enough. If someone's upset about it, that's enough to have a conversation. But for everyone to sit there and say, you're racist because in this culture, what you said can be construed as that, where in your culture is not. To me, that's a bit of an issue, because it's like, well, let's hear them out, because that's also speaking to our culture. And like I've said in the past, if my family met you, this is probably more my grandparents' generation, but if my grandparents' generation would have met you, they would have been like, oh, you're negro, ven acá, you know? Or they probably would have called you flaco, because we're all bigger. You know what I mean? Oh, you're flaquito.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
That stands out more. That's more unique.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then if two skinny people showed up, you're negro.
Flaco, you know, negro.
I mean? Yeah. Like because I have my great grandfather was Chinese, right? I sometimes have people will call me Chino in my family, which I know people are sort of now looking at and saying, just because someone looks Asian, you can't call them Chinese. That is a bit disrespectful. I agree, right? We need to look at that, right? But as a term of just, if no one was offended by it, as a loose term of endearment, I have no problem with it. And I'm, yeah, again, I'm part Chinese.
It is a, again, context is important. It is simply, you know, it's as if like, black people may be able to, you know, they can call each other the N-word, but if somebody else from another culture does it, and then it's a problem, because the context does not allow that. And that's just part of it. You know, I think for a player, if you're going to, if you're playing, especially if you're playing abroad or playing really anywhere, people who speak Spanish can be racist, right? And they can say, they can use racist terminology. That, again, I'm not accusing Casilla of that, but it's also...
No, he was going to say Argentinians, but we decided not to, right? We talked about this.
But when you are, when in Rome, do as the Romans do, right? So what are the cultural norms? You should, that's how you should behave. And he did not. So he can still have some, either racist tone or racist undertone to his speech in Spanish. And it can still be offensive to someone who does not speak Spanish. And that's just something he has to live with and learn and know that for the future.
Like Nearer Nation put, weird tangent, but is there a reason why Argentina is the only country in South America I've never seen black people in? The answer is yes. It's on purpose. Google it. It's not a fun read. I'll tell you that. But also, Maradona, in a lot of interviews, called himself black. Did you know that?
No, I've not. Yeah, I did not know that.
Because for him, if you're of indigenous in Argentina, if you're of indigenous bloodline or ancestry, you are called negrito.
Yeah.
So he would say, like, just for someone, because if you think about it, it was the Europeans who had the money. It was the Europeans who went there that had the money. They were able to advance themselves. And it was the indigenous folks there or the people that were originally in Argentina that were struggling to sort of be able to do that, to propel themselves forward. So that's another reason why he felt so empowered to go to Napoli, because in the southern part of Italy is considered lesser by the people of the north.
Yeah.
So he went there to help propel them forward the same way he did for, and I don't want to say indigenous people because I don't think he's indigenous, but he's of the original inhabitants of Argentina.
Sure. He looks more indigenous than European. Looking at him. Yeah. Yeah.
Until, he gets a little bit of that white in him.
This is a different kind of white.
Damn. You can't snort your way to white, bro. I know you've tried.
It doesn't work that way, but... Oh, my goodness. Okay, so...
A good one, but... Saca la bolsita. No! Were you at Latin Quarters? Cincinnati?
I was speaking to someone who was from Peru... And I was telling him about I do a TV show about soccer, and like Latinos are always really excited when I tell them, like, one, they don't really understand comedian, like, oh, you do comedy, like, what? What is it? You know, stand up. They don't. It's
people
not really
pay you for chiste or broma.
They don't really get that. But when I say, oh, I have a TV show and I talk about soccer, then Latinos are like, what? Oh, this is so cool. And then they start having all these.
Why didn't you lead with that?
And I was talking to a dude from Peru once, and he was like, oh, that's so cool. You should get. He was like, you should get Diego Maradona on your show, like, just
word.
Which is it's the same thing. Like,
why did you say something? I should have thought of that early.
If you're in comedy, or like, oh, you do comedy, you should be on SNL. Why aren't you on SNL?
Yeah, you should call Lord. Well, I mean, I've been. It's weird. When I started comedy, they gave me his number, and I didn't know why. I didn't know that's all it took.
So yeah, so we're getting it in soccer as well. Okay, yeah. I'll text him. I'll text his plug and I'll get his number.
And everything should be fine once we get it. Oh, yeah. I mean, I would love to, please. Again, that's my father. As Punk Rock Dad 81 has said, that's right, dude.
Okay.
Maradona. That's my father. We figured out he had three kids in Cuba.
Yes. Look up that was one of our greatest hits from one of the Fubo clips.
One of my favorite episodes. I miss the studio so much.
On Instagram. Follow us on Instagram. If you are not following us on Instagram, make sure you do that. At Soccer Cooligans. It's a bunch of fun stuff coming soon as well.
But to finish up about Leeds, I didn't know this either. FIFA Degenerate said about Leeds, the fans apparently don't want Casilla back in the team, and they're very happy with Elon Mesler. Mesler in goal.
Okay.
He's got four clean sheets in the last five games. Very similar to what's happening at Arsenal with Bern Leno and being injured, and now Emi Martinez coming in.
Yeah, Martinez has actually been really impressive. In the game that Leno got hurt, he's been great. And he's also a different... For whatever reason, because he's like a bit of a stockier guy, I thought he was going to be a bit slower.
Me too.
He's pretty sharp and agile and stuff like that. So,
well, they're both kind of big. They're both like they're more centers or power forwards than they are small, like shooting guards or small forwards. Okay. Right? Like, they're just a little bit stocky, a little bit bigger. But Byrne just kind of looks a little bit younger. Feels like he's maybe more cat-like. But Emi Martinez just seems to have really sharp, smart footwork. Really knows where to stand. I mean, I don't know enough about goalkeeping position wise, but I haven't seen him sort of have to make the incredible, jaw dropping save. He just seems to kind of always be in the right position. It seems like people are constantly shooting the ball directly at him, which is a huge compliment for a goalkeeper.
Yeah. And best part about him is he knows not to use the N word while he's playing soccer.
I'm not until VAR in England gets as good as it is in the top flight as it is in the championship.
Anyway, the only other thing I wanted to just recap, Everton did lose to Wolves, to Wolverhampton, 3-0. It was a 7 a.m. game. I'm like, I'm not even going to bother with this one. Too early to watch them lose. I knew they were not going to win.
Not going to put on the scarf.
But I started following more Everton accounts out in Liverpool. And it is just disappointing. Apparently, Gylfi Sigurdsson, something he made connected, I think, maybe like two passes to forwards. Can you imagine that if your midfield connecting in a,
supposedly your most creative member of
your midfield connecting two passes. The midfield is the bridge between the goalkeeper and all those people at the back and the people that can actually score.
I'm going to say this, and I don't know if this is going to be shocking to some of you folks. The midfield's important. And one of the things that they do very importantly is be able to sort of get the ball from the defenders forward to the attackers to be able to do it. And if that happens twice in a match from your best player, supposedly in that midfield, you're not having a good time. That's not Carlo Ancelotti's doing. That's Gylfi Sigurdsson just completely being out of his depth at this point, right?
I don't know what happened to this man.
Y'all broke him, dude.
At Swansea, maybe he had a larger responsibility, and now he's on he's on a better team with a lot more players with quality. And I don't know, maybe he just doesn't. I don't know if it's whether he doesn't fit in the system. He was better with Ronald Koeman, I would say he was a little bit more like they more was asked of him, but I don't know if they're phasing him out or if he is just timid or doesn't. I don't know. It's really bad. But to see
bring back Big Dunk, dude.
To see that kind of statistic is pretty embarrassing. I mean, there's no other way to put it. So
it's also just if you're an Everton fan and you see a stat like that. There's a lot of frustration with the way the season has gone. Now you have a fairly significant thing to point that frustration at, which if that relationship with them and Gylfi Sigurdsson wasn't deteriorated before, I guarantee you, based on the last few hours of Twitter since that stat went up, it's gotten there. You know what I mean?
I mean, speaking of Wolves, did you see the goal from Raul Jimenez today?
I did not. Let me look that up.
You got to look that up, bro, because he scored a banger.
A certified banger?
Certificado.
Damn. put la estampa on
it. He absolutely smashed it. Colbanca said, Wakata. So, he absolutely cracked it. Honestly, it was similar to the Jesus Medina goal, a little bit.
Those are words you very rarely hear.
Just Jesus Medina goal right there. We're not used to hearing it, but he did. He scored that goal against Orlando was something to remember, even though the entire game didn't go too well for NYCFC. So you looking at it?
Yeah. I had the volume on. Don't want to get banned.
No, it should be fine. You know what? I've been watching Jimmy Conrad. Jimmy Conrad does not care about anything. He just posts videos, reacts to everything. It's just I'm terrified of Twitch banning us, but
this is a free kick, by the way.
No, it is not a free kick.
This might be the wrong one.
This was just today. You can watch it on the NBC Sports soccer Twitter feed.
I got my own thing.
Okay. Are you doing Streamja?
No. Well, some of them are. Yeah, the Raul Jimenez one. This is against Everton?
No. This is not against Everton. This is today's game. Who did they play today? They play...
Oh, Burnley.
Burnley.
Oh, see, I'm like, this is a penalty. What the hell is this guy excited about?
Music.
Yo, did you see that penalty?
Music is the only problem. That's what Colobanco says about airing content on here. So maybe we could get away with it. We can actually maybe show highlights even on here.
You know, the moment we do it, we're going to get shut down. How did he do that?
Crazy, huh?
That's mid-run.
Yeah, dude. It's a great goal.
I love the camera goes to the bench, and there's a guy in a M95 mask and, like, protective goggles. That's kind of scary.
Near Nation asks, Christian, is it time to call Moise Keane a flop? I don't think it's time, but I think
he's so young.
He's so young. He plays he plays very like immaturely. He's kind of like is trying too hard. That's the best way to put it. He's trying too hard. He's like in his own head. He's like trying to outmuscle people. And he is a big kid, you know. He's definitely going to win challenges and stuff like that. But he's you can tell he's just not in a place where he is confident in his ability. And he's trying to be like, oh, the Premier League is a tough league. I'm gonna go out and you know, just use just with strength, just kind of impose myself. And it's not working. He's not there yet. That's why he's not getting many minutes. I think something's up maybe with him in training or something. Because look, when he was at Juventus, it's a little different when you know you have you know just Cuadrado, you have Ronaldo passing you the ball,
yeah.
Compared to Gylfi, so he's not even gonna get you the ball, okay? Yeah, he doesn't know.
Gylfi's like, I did my two for the season, my G.
you up there? I pass to my center backs exclusively. I don't know what you want.
First of all, if you want me to pass to you, you should have been a center back because I don't go that way. I go this way, my G. I got one way. All right.
And who else? Mina, Luca Digne, and even Andre Gomez. Andre Gomez is...
He's got to go.
I feel bad. He broke his ankle, the whole thing. Yes.
It was horrific.
It was terrible. But he is just, he's also another one that doesn't really get the ball forward very often. I don't understand midfielders that are too timid to pass the ball forward. That is your job. What is going on?
What if it's the system? What if it's not their fault?
It could be. I don't know what to say.
But everyone but in the club, the most important person below the owner, you have to say is Ancelotti, right?
Okay. I mean, yeah, he is to blame. But when who is it? Is it Anthony Gordon? I believe his name is. Anthony Gordon. He is a academy kid, I saw him play. He started for the first time just a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, who is this kid? What's going on? But he is one of the few. He's a kid. He's 19 years old, and he's like the only midfielder that is like taking shots and really getting the ball forward. He can move with the ball. And so, what is it that these veterans? What is it that these veterans can't? Like, I just don't know what, I don't know what, maybe it's Ancelotti asking something different of them, but maybe he's trying to be more cautious defensively. But I mean, it is wildly unattractive. This is an unattractive football that I do not enjoy watching.
It is tough to watch. I've enjoyed watching some of the Everton matches since the restart, but it is a sort of, it's a dull version of soccer, even when you're playing well. It's like it's a paint drying like kind of style of soccer. That's not there's nothing about it that sort of lights up like Leicester. You know what I mean? Say what you want about Brendan Rodgers, but when Leicester scores, it's almost always a highlight. You know what I mean? Like it's almost always like a whoa, you gotta see that. When Wolves scores, just like this last goal, there's something innately exciting about it.
They're Everton, having fun
when they score.
They're having a good time out there.
When they score, they're like hugging each other. I'm so sorry. Next time.
No, man. Colo Blanco said, but Yerry Mina was not on the field when they lost, Christian.
It's his fault, you know, once again.
Yes, that was a big reason. But
these damn Latinos taking the day off, you know?
But when the main – I mean, look, the problems are not – I would argue the problems with Everton are not at the back line. I mean, they're not the best back line in the Premier League, but for
that's
a team,
Arsenal.
But for a team to be what? They're in what place?
Everton's 12th, right?
In 12th place, that's pretty standard Premier League. As far as the you know, you wouldn't say they have defensive woes. How many goals have they allowed? They've allowed 52 goals, which is definitely a lot.
That's a woe.
It's yeah. Who is that?
Remember Drake driving around the six, and that was one of the woes that he was with.
Look, I mean, it's pretty impressive, especially with Sheffield United. Sheffield United has only given up 33 goals for the season, and then they're in eighth eighth place, but that is a solid defensive squad that is not really focused on scoring a lot of goals or don't really have the quality up top to score that much. Ideally that's where Everton should be, but in this Premier League of 2019-2020, this is enough. You know, the idea is just score more than they do. Who cares about defense nowadays?
But here's what I'll say. At the end of the season, you're going to be happy the same way Arsenal fans are going to be happy, because you survived a terrible start, which is all that matters. You know, Arsenal fans are upset right now because we have that shot at potentially fifth or sixth, right? But when we look back, we're going to say like, yo, Unai Emery was trash and we got a manager we wanted. And he learned a bunch of valuable lessons at the tail end of a season that really had no outstanding potential value, right?
Yeah.
And I think you're literally going to be able to say the same thing. You got out someone that didn't work. You brought in someone who will literally change your club for the better, presumably, or at least has that potential in Ancelotti. And what did you really lose? What were you really aiming for when you win these games? What's honestly the difference between 9th and 12th? What's honestly the difference between 8th and 14th? Nothing.
Exactly.
But what you get out of this is that you find out Gordon is an incredible midfielder. You know for a fact Gylfi Sigurdsson is phoning it in, right? And you say to yourself, here's the positions we absolutely need. And we did all that without slipping out of the Premier League. Psh, they're good for you.
Okay. Yeah, that's why the loss against Wolves didn't hurt. You know, Wolves have something to play for.
Because you're dead inside now. You're a true Everton fan.
Okay. Wolves beat, you know, make it to the Champions League. Who knows? You know, that would be beautiful. So,
I think it was FIFA Degenerates put Wolves, a.k.a. Portugal FC. Technically, Portugal third-party ownership FC. Again, I'm a fan.
Yeah, I love it when the Wolves won the Euros. That was pretty cool when they did that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they didn't hit like I expected, but okay.
Nope. I heard it, and I heard it fall. You want to pick that up, buddy?
Okay. So the last thing we have listed here is the Peacock. Hey, thank you, Nick's Third Nipples. I'm talking about peacocks, and Nick's Third Nipple follows us. Thank you so much.
Whoa!
It just came in with the heat. Orlando. Okay, Orlando FC with the purple, everything. Okay.
Damn, yo, he is Orlando'd out. We get it. You beat NYCFC.
Look, NYCFC.
Solo.
NYCFC at least has a chance, maybe for that third place spot if other teams lose. It's possible.
I don't think so, because if if Philly,
no, got Philly got points. A point. They can't win the group, but they can. Remember, the best, the two best third place teams in the groups move on to the knockout. So,
now they're fighting because a good one put Puro Inter Miami, baby. Which I heard. I know he didn't follow, but I heard the salsa music when he put that. I heard the bum ba dang bum bum.
Okay. So the last thing, Peacock TV. I think officially today was the debut of this new service. And now I got the email from the NBC Sports Gold would not be being renewed. So obviously the Premier League is now officially moving in the U.S. Premier League is moving to Peacock TV, which is the NBC new streaming service. So,
but it's Peacock Premium, right?
Yeah,
which was again my nickname in high school. Peacock Premium—that's the new NBC Sports Gold.
Yes, it is. But they will wait. So wait, is NBC Sports Gold
gone?
Okay, so that is being phased out.
But here's my problem. I watch NBC Sports Gold on my Roku. Mm-hmm. Roku and Amazon Fire Stick or Fire TV, they both will not be carrying Peacock. Peacock did not sign a deal with them.
Really?
Yeah. So what am I going to do, watch it on my phone?
It's only a matter of time, right?
Now, what do I got to get? I got to get a 45-inch or 50-inch iPad. How am I going to watch this thing? I got to get an Apple TV then.
Yeah. So I have a Sony TV that has Android on it, and I don't know if Peacock is on there. Yeah, I got to check, but because I watch today's games on my computer. But Android TV usually is like supported by everything and usually just works fine with it. They support most of
Android TV.
Android TV, yeah.
What's that?
It is the it's essentially like the Google Play Store version for your TV. So like it runs an Android operating system on the television.
Oh, you know what? I got a smart TV, so maybe I could just download the Peacock app to the TV.
But the smart TV, you have a Vizio TV, right?
Yeah.
Vizio, I don't think uses Android TV, but it might support Peacock. I don't know.
I got to be honest.
Punk Rock Dad says I screen mirror, which that's an option too. You can mirror the screen from Google Chrome, I think. I don't know if your TV supports Chrome or if you have Chromecast. That's an option, but it is annoying. Colo Blanco said the transition was the most confusing ever. It is making this a massive change like this is kind of frustrating, but it is interesting that they go through all the hiccups of doing it in the middle of like a season, in the middle of a week, in like just so by the next season everybody dealt with everything.
You're all familiar with it.
And
yeah.
It's like, and then they'll
and
be
it's
ready.
Matches that mostly don't matter, right? Like most of the matches today weren't like, it's not like there was much on the line. So it's like, do it this week where we're gonna get less emails.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all they care about. It's just so weird, you know. Ugh, like where, you know, what can I put this peak on?
I liked, you know, when you know, when
I don't know if anyone got that.
Premier League did was just on regular television and it was just across all the NBC channels, so it would be on.
That was a beautiful time.
NBC Sports. It was on CNBC.
The NBC, yeah,
yeah.
It was great.
You just watch them. You just flip through, and they're all there. But that in itself was a little bit confusing because you didn't know what channel the games were on, so it was a little difficult to find once in a while. So it's nice to have like an app where like all the games are just like right there listed and you can click on the one you want to watch. So
it was so much more simple. And honestly, you know, look, my Roku's starting to get a little old, so maybe I'll get an Apple TV. But I mean, am I going to buy like an entirely new system just because NBC Sports doesn't want to be on the Roku? What'd the Roku do to you? You know?
Yo, I mean, look, maybe they just, they want that dough. They want money.
Damn it.
I don't know.
Colo Blanco put, Alexis is so confused. Look at his face. Yeah, I was, because I got no idea what Chris started screen mirroring.
Yeah, when it comes to you know, advanced technical stuff, Alexis makes that face when Alexis is talking about some sort of new cheese that is being processed and made somewhere. That is my face.
Yeah.
I am quite baffled. All right. So we got through it. This was another fun Prem show. Thank you again for hanging out with us. Again, people, if you're on Twitch, just let people know the Cooligans are talking Premier League. We're dedicating our time to this because when, you know, on our podcast, on our TV show, there's not enough time. There's not enough time to talk about all the things we want to talk about. And also, you know, we do usually a lot of long form interviews, and so there's not always time to get into these topics. And I'm glad we got to, you know, find out what's going on at Leeds. And yeah, again, shout out to FIFA Degenerates for the contribution, Colo Blanco for everything as well. And
shout out to all of our new subscribers, all of our new followers.
Appreciate
you guys are the best.
Appreciate y'all. Good one. Thank you. Yeah, make sure. This week on Fubo TV, we've had some great shows and the podcast as well. With Sebastian,
we just interviewed our first Liga MX player,
yeah,
dude, Sebastian Salcedo of Pumas,
exactly,
Pumas Unam.
Yeah, yeah, and already a bunch of people I've gotten some texts and a couple of messages from people that they were like, "Yo, that was a really dope interview. I really got to like know a lot about Sebastian." And so
and
yeah,
hear his side of the story because a lot went down. You know,
yeah, yeah, we're becoming the, you know, the Wendy Williams. You know, sit down with us. Tell us the real story. You know,
we're loving hip hop. We're loving soccer. You know what I mean? Okay. Colo Blanco put the Cooligans featuring Colo Blanco and friends. LOL. Yeah, it's not exactly like that, Colo Blanco. But honestly, it probably should be because we couldn't do this without you.
New Nation said there was no sound on the interview when I heard it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got to re-download.
Re-download it. Yes, please. Because there was an issue with the audio or when we initially uploaded the podcast. And it is now working. Cade Lady says, please no Wendy. Okay, no problem. You know, or other reference of show where people have one-on-ones or whatever. Anyway. Yeah, so make sure download the, if you want to listen to the interview with Sebastian Salcedo, download the podcast now or re-download it or whatever, and it'll be working fine. So sorry about that, but again, it is an interview you do not want to miss. And tomorrow on Fubo TV, you can you'll hear us and see us talking to Marissa Pilla of she's an NWSL sideline broadcaster, and she's awesome. We talk about the NWSL.
She's incredible.
The knockout rounds are coming up, and we're also joined by Dom Dwyer of Orlando City. So I know somebody just came in here screaming, "Where's Orlando, Nick's third nipple."
Third nipple.
Okay, Nick's third nipple.
We did it just for you.
All right, your third nipple is going to be erect because.
Okay, I think you might even get four after this. Okay.
No, but he's awesome, and Dom Dwyer really funny, a lot of banter. A lot of jokes, so you're going to...
He came prepared. It turns out he's a big fan of the show, so he might be listening to this. He might know who you are, Nick's Third Nipple. So he's one of the few guests, probably, that we've had this a lot more recently, but they've come on being like, no, I've listened to the show, not just like my agent told me to listen to the last one.
Yeah.
Like, they're listeners of the show, and they came in like ready to they got bits in their head, dude.
Okay. So a really, really great show that I think everyone will enjoy, so make sure you check that out. Okay, so thank you for tuning in to another Prem show. We'll be back next week with another episode.
If you want to get in on the show, all you got to do is join the Twitch stream. We generally are starting to do these on Wednesdays. So if you want to be a part of the show, stick around, check out our socials.
New Nation said you guys should bring in Poet and Vuj, or maybe the Kings, Desus and Mero for one of these.
Yeah, we would love to bring in the Alexis and Christian of General Conversation, Desus and Mero. So we would love that.
Desus and Mero are great, man.
They're great. Dude, they're great.
We have invited them onto our show.
It was right during the switch to Showtime.
Yeah, so there's like been a lot going on. So, but we'll hopefully we can make it happen because that would be a dream. I think it would be really fun and funny and hearing that.
And Vuj has already been on the show.
Yes,
so we Vuj just got to get Poet on.
Yeah, if you didn't listen to I assume you may have listened to the Vuj episode or seen it, but it is available. So yeah, check that out. It was like maybe 2-3 months ago.
He wore a North Korea kit.
He is a wild man. So
he's a maniac.
Okay, so thank you again for tuning in. We appreciate you. There'll be another podcast tomorrow, which Friday as well. So make sure you check that out. Subscribe, all those things. We appreciate everybody in the Twitch.
Leave a 5-star review. We should start reading those on here.
Oh, we should do that too. Yeah. Because we're running out of time. There's no time on the TV show.
It's the damn commercials. We're doing too good. They keep adding more commercials. It's less time that we get to talk.
Okay. So thank you again. And we'll read it because I saw Colo Blanco left a review on our iTunes as well. So thank you for that. With that said, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!